Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, Merry Christmas. My name is Keith Harrington. I'm one of the pastors here, and absolutely honored that you would choose to be here this weekend with us and being part of this service. There's also an entire room that's completely over capacity just beyond this wall right here, and there's a lobby that's filled and continuing to fill up with people coming in. And so we just want to say thank you so much. Those that are sitting all these different places, some chose to sit over there, and others, that's where you're at. But we just want to say thank you for being here with us on this incredible Christmas Eve. And I know for me, I look forward to giving gifts. I think a lot about that word joy. And there's so much joy in giving something. There's also joy in that element of receiving and knowing that something's been thought through a lot. My wife and I, we wanted to make this moment of joy in giving for our kids, and we decided we wanted to get them a dog, okay? And we had talked about getting this dog, and we're going to give it to them on Christmas and all of that. And here's the thing. We came to our community group, and we said, hey, it's our small group, closest friends to us. Hey, we were thinking about getting a dog or something. Like, oh, hold on, let me tell you something. Do not get a golden doodle. We had a golden doodle, and we called her the demon doodle. She was with us for a year, and then we had to get rid of her. And I'm like, oh, goodness, we already have a deposit down on the golden doodle. Because they didn't ask, like, hey, has this deal been sealed? No, we just were asking, and they said, oh, secondly, do not give the kids the dog on Christmas. The dog will ruin your Christmas. And we're like, well, you're the closest people to us in our life, and we are not taking your advice. We're doing it anyways. And so we gave the kids this dog called Riley. And Riley made her appearance 9 years ago, and I thought, how could it ruin Christmas? We're at our in-laws. Who cares? Pee, do whatever. It don't matter. Because then we just left. It was great. It worked out great. But in our minds, there was always that demon doodle, demon doodle, demon doodle. And our dog was not a demon doodle for 2 months. And then after 2 months, our boys were outside playing football in the backyard, and they were like, man, Riley keeps biting her ankles. And so they put her on the trampoline. They put her on the trampoline, and what did she want to do? She wanted to get off the trampoline. So she, like, the challenge, she went airborne and landed on the poop shovel. You know the poop shovel. Everybody's got a poop shovel. Broke her leg. So this was Riley. We call her the dollar doodle because she's cost us a lot of money. And we go, she's at the vet, and they're like, here's the thing. It's going to be $2,700 for the surgery she needs. And we're like, oh, my goodness. And he goes, but I got a deal for you. You want to turn her into a tripod? Three legs? $1,800. I am not even kidding, and I was tempted. I was tempted, but she's got all four. I take her on walks, and I want to show you. I do photo shoots with her. Like, these are some moments that I've captured. That's right outside the village. It's now 27 apartments. This is on my street. Those houses were 12 times as much as they were back then. But love walking her. She also has two brothers. We've got a couple of labs that my twins got. And so we've got a family full, a house full of humans and animals. Lots of joy sometimes. And so when I think of joy and just that moment of giving them a dog and that moment of the excitement and all of that you put into something. See, often our joy becomes circumstantial. And it's kind of an exchange that we make. It's a circumstance. It's not necessarily something that could be more eternal. And in reality, that word joy is mentioned in the Bible 400 times. Sometimes it's rejoice. It's other forms of that word. But joy. Like, do we really have the joy of Christ? In the Greek, that word joy is chara, which is joy from the grace of God. It's produced by the grace of God. It is non-fleeting. It's not circumstantial. But often we get caught up in, like, the circumstance. We take ourselves pretty seriously as people. The reality is we should probably take ourselves a little less seriously. I mean, we're a group of real stinking people here, and I've already heard some of your kids misbehave, and I've seen some of your husbands misbehave as well. Already in this short little bit of time that I've been up here. Be honest. You're around 1,500 of your closest friends, and this is being streamed online. Who has threatened their kids with, I'm taking every one of your presents back? Be honest. You've said it. It's a great threat. It's been used for generations. You've said it. You've thought it. You maybe threaten that kid that's already chewing on the candle. Behave in church. Dude, I am not kidding. That last night at the last service, there was a kid that was using the candle like a stogie. And I was up here trying to preach. And he's like, pfft. His parents are like, oh, it's Christmas. I'm like, your kid's got a problem. So he was like 9. So, but I can see everything that goes on up here. Okay. But think about like not taking yourself seriously. And here's the thing at Rock Harbor. We're real stinking people. We pride ourselves on the gospel. It's about Jesus Christ and Him alone. What that means, we have to decrease. Don't take yourself so seriously. I was reading the other day from one of my favorite authors, just somebody I really look up to. He says, your happiness and your overall health can significantly improve by just laughing at yourself. Just laugh at yourself. Learn to laugh at yourself. I mean, this is someone I revere. This is someone I tell other people they should be like. This is someone that I just really, I just look up to a lot of their work. Buy all their books. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus Christ came that you would have life and have an abundant life. He wants you to have a joy-filled life. And a lot of people think like, hey, the more holy I get, the less happy I'm going to be. And that's not true. People think, oh, God is just about condemnation and Jesus came to condemn the world. Well, in John 3:17, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It's through Jesus Christ that salvation comes. It's not a condemnation that comes. God sent his only son, John 3:16, the verse right before that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Only begotten. That word begotten is not used often. If you look at linguistic studies, it's not used as much in the English language as it once was. But it has some deep meaning. The begotten Son of God. The only one. The begotten was brought in to save souls. Begotten was brought in to save lives. For God so loved the world, he went to extreme measures so that all could know that he loved them, so that all could be saved, all could have payment made for the sin that we've all committed. He made the ultimate sacrifice. That word begotten in the Greek, it's from monogenos. It's unique. It's one and only. It means one of a kind. Genos, it's the only one of its kind, only one born. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. The only one born. Lots of babies born, but only one God baby. Only one that was 100% God and 100% man that came. He's begotten. And he's been brought in. I love how Matt and Scott and Katie shared the Christmas story, or the story of Christ coming out of Luke 2. Verse number 8 says, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds in the field, all of a sudden, they went from being separate from all of civilization. I mean, they're out with the animals to being brought in to this story of Christ. They're an outcast group, but God gave a special message to them and through them. Verse 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. This is where we get the word gospel. Good news of great joy. It's good news. There is joy in the news that God has for us, that he sent his only son. It's for all the people, it says in verse 10. Not for some of the people, not for the rich, not for the poor. All people. Not the religious, not just the religious, the irreligious as well. This is for everyone. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. And this is going to be a sign to you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. See, these shepherds were given a special opportunity. An opportunity to be invited in, which was very uncommon for a shepherd to be invited in. They were outcast. But now they're invited in. It's a picture that the gospel's for everyone. There's room for everyone with the gospel. It's inclusive. We're to make room for people in our life. We're to make room for others, make room for Christ in our home, in our heart. And Jesus Christ came for all people, and shepherds in particular, for all the people. The gospel can make it to the shepherds. Guess what? It's for us as well. Through Jesus, receiving and believing in Christ. It's not something that we can earn. Verse 16, and they went with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. I mean, think about Mary. She's like, I've known no man. But all of a sudden, there's going to be a child born of you. His name is to be called Jesus. He's the Son of God. She's like, but Joseph and I are engaged, but we've only side-hugged one another. That's it. So that's why when she's told this, she stores it up in her heart. And what did the shepherds do? They went right back to what they did before, but they went in a different manner. See, they were brought in. They were the forgotten, they were the outcast, but now they've been brought in. The begotten was brought in, and now the forgotten are brought in. That's the inclusivity of Christ. I said that so quickly, some of you didn't even notice. That was a Vanilla Ice moment right there. Everything rhymes super smooth. If you're into that kind of thing, you can follow me on Instagram at Reverend of Rhyme. Swipe up, DM. The people that reply to my DMs will take care of it, and we'll get in touch. But think about that. The shepherds are all out in the field, and the next thing you know, they're in the very presence of God. They're in the very presence of God. They were the first to welcome this Son of God. They witnessed the miraculous take place. And then what did they do? They went right back to the field with the sheep. And they went back praising God, claiming glory to God in the highest. They had witnessed the miraculous. Even though they went back to the same thing, they were forever changed. To be forever changed. See, I believe the same thing can happen on a typical Christmas Eve. I believe the same exact thing can happen in your life, that maybe things are normal. I don't know what you came in with. I don't know if there's some thing, like maybe you feel like some of those shepherds that you're like, man, I feel like an outcast. I feel like my job's menial. Like, it's not really that big a deal. There's tons of people that do the kind of work that I do, or I'm just this, or I'm just that, or maybe you're full of shame. You know, some shepherds were in the field because they were part of a family business, but then they were outcast from that. So this is a job that they could get, that they didn't have to be around people, whatever their checkered past would look like. And maybe for some of you, you're going, man, I've surely at this point, I've outsinned the grace of God. Or you've been trying to earn your salvation, your standard, your place with God. And the reality is we could never earn it. And all of a sudden, in the middle of a typical day, a typical night, the miraculous moment happens for them. And they were forever changed. They went back to doing the life that they had been doing, but they were forever changed. And I absolutely believe that in this moment, I believe that right now your life can be forever changed. I don't know how long you have. Now let me just stop for a second, because we could easily just have a Christmas service and we light candles and we sing songs and there's amazing things, and man, that sharing of the Christmas story, those guys were hilarious, and that was great, and there really is joy, and I believe there's a God, and it's really great that Jesus came. Now let's go celebrate Christmas. Or I could stop for a second and say, I want to tell you the most important thing you'll ever hear in your life. God sent his only son to die on a cross for you. And the sin that you and I have committed is, one, is enough for eternal separation. But God in his grace and God in his love and God brought joy to the world through his son. And he lived a perfect life, but he died on a cruel cross. And he also rose from the dead. I want you to know that because I don't know. The scripture tells us our life's a vapor. It's here for a bit and it's gone. One of my friends passed away 2 weeks ago today, 51 years old, absolutely unexpected. Last time I hung out with him, we went to Panera Bread. I walked around his farm, saw horses, and just spent time and just thought, man, that was really great. Not knowing I'd never see him again outside of an obituary. Absolutely shocked. I don't know how long you have. And I don't want you to be fearful because it said to the angels, fear not. The angel said to the shepherds, fear not. Don't fear, for joy's come for the world. I want you to know that you can, in a typical, temporary moment, surrender to Jesus Christ for eternal joy and peace that comes in him and him alone. See, you've had some things happen in your life and maybe your joy has been based around circumstance. I want you to clearly know joy comes in a Savior, not in a circumstance. And that condemnation that you feel because there's some that you don't know when you leave here. You're making it through Christmas, but you don't know where the marriage is going to be. You're making it through this season and you're just trying to keep one foot in front of another. And there's some type of guilt or shame or some kind of frustration or dissatisfaction that's in you. But your works are never going to be enough. And your spouse's relationship with Jesus or your kids or your parents or a friend's is never enough. It's between you and God. So that's why it's important not just to have a Christmas service. No, let's tell the greatest story ever told. Let's talk about the greatest sacrifice that's ever been made. And Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what that means is there is condemnation for those that are not in Christ Jesus, but there isn't condemnation. There isn't judgment for those that are in Christ Jesus. So apart, there's separation, but with, there's eternal glory. So how do I be in Christ Jesus? Well, Romans 10:10 says, for with your heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Simply confessing that you can't, but he can. Surrender to him, the only one that's faithful and just, the only one that can forgive you. Stop trying to earn it and receive it. The shepherds received the message and they were forever changed. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered your heart to him? Because that's the beginning point. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Right now in this moment, if the Lord has revealed to you and maybe you've come in with some different things, today's the day to set it aside. There's no greater time than right now than to set aside your way for God's way. Your plan for God's plan. Your control for God's control. And that's what salvation is saying, I can't, but you can. It's simply believing and receiving. It's submitting our will to his will. So right now, if God has moved in your heart, I want to ask you to join me in prayer. If God has moved that you want to begin a relationship with him, would you pray with me right now? Dear God, thank you so much for loving me. Thank you for sending your only son. I believe that he died on a cross. I believe that he rose again. And he's the only one that can save. Jesus is the only name that I can call on for salvation. I ask for forgiveness of my sin. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for doing something for me I could not do for myself. I receive salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.